Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
A lame man had been healed in the surroundings of the Temple of Jerusalem to the amazement of the crowds watching. The healed man praised God and rejoiced intensely in the gift of healing. He wanted to stay close to the apostles through whom such great things happened to him. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 11 to 26, we read the following. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom he delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first, to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. The healed man clung to Peter and John. He wanted to enjoy the company of the instruments of God through whom he was given physical fitness. The news of the miraculous healing spread quickly, and all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to the apostles in the portico called Solomon's. That was a porch on the inner side of the wall enclosing the outer court of the temple, with rows of 27-foot-high stone columns and a roof of cedar. Peter addressed the crowd to give them understanding of what happened. The crowd focused on the apostles as miracle workers. However, Peter shifted the focus to Jesus. Peter addressed the people as men of Israel, reminding them they were God's chosen people since the Old Testament times. They were supposed to know the scriptures and promises about the Messiah. They should not have been surprised with the miracle they had witnessed. Peter said, there is nothing special in us apostles. There is no power or godliness in us. No human power healed the man. If the apostles were selfish and sought admiration, they could have taken advantage of the occasion to become celebrities. Peter, however, directed the crowd to the God of their forefathers, not a new God, but their God, and to his servant Jesus, the Messiah. Christ is the one to be seen and acknowledged in any wonder that takes place. Peter calls Jesus servant, whose work as the suffering servant is clearly described by the prophet Isaiah. Then Peter recalled what the Jewish crowd and authorities did to the servant Jesus. He said, "You delivered Jesus over to be killed and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him." Peter preached law to the audience. What an accusation! They were charged guilty of Jesus' suffering and death. They voted against Jesus, spurned him, denied him, and refused to acknowledge him as the true Messiah. Though Pilate decided to release him, the Jews asked Jesus' death. "Crucify him," they shouted. Peter gives strong emphasis on their complicity in Jesus' death. "You denied the Holy and Righteous One," Peter said. Jesus was not just a man or a prophet, but the true God himself. Jesus was exchanged for a murderer, Barabbas. Here we find a sharp contrast between the innocence of Jesus and the guilt of the criminal Barabbas. Yet Jesus placed himself under the curse of all sin. Peter continued, "You killed the author of life." This is another title of Christ, the author of life, the one who creates life, from whom all life proceeds, the one who gives life, and the one who rules over life. The source and donor of life had been killed. Continuing his address, Peter referred to his audience as brothers. Fellow men, brothers in guilt and brothers in salvation. What the crowds and their leaders did to Jesus stemmed from ignorance. Because Jesus rarely showed his divine majesty on earth, the people did not fully understand who he was. The Jews should have known from the Old Testament that Christ would suffer. However, they did not. God used people's ignorance and evil deeds to fulfill what he had foretold. Amazing how God works. Is there any healing for guilt? Yes. Peter advised, "Repent and turn again so that your sins may be blotted out." Repentance is a change of mind and will arising from sorrow for sin. Repentance is the acknowledgement of guilt. Healing of guilt happens by turning in faith to Jesus, who with his suffering and death deleted our sins. Looking at us through the eyes of Jesus, our Heavenly Father finds no sin in us anymore. What a relief! Forgiveness brings times of refreshing. Once a sinner is forgiven, he finds breathing space, so to speak. Times of refreshing had been foretold by the prophets. Now these times have come. Christ was sent as the servant who would suffer, die, and be raised for the salvation of sinners. Jesus accomplished his work. The prophecies have been fulfilled. Now Jesus is in heaven and will remain there until the time for restoring all the things comes. Christ ascended to the Father, yet his present reign still links him with his church. The time will come when he will return and undo all the damage done to humankind by the fall into sin. What Peter said was nothing new, because the Old Testament prophets prophesied it. God promised to Moses to raise up a prophet like him from among his own people. This prophet is the Messiah, Christ. People should have listened to Jesus while he was preaching on earth, but many did not. The consequence of not listening to Jesus is destruction. Apart from Moses, God foretold the coming and the work of the Messiah through Samuel, King David, and many others. They announced God's reign, which arrived in Jesus. The people who listened to Peter were sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with their fathers. They should welcome Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises and be blessed as God had promised. The risen Lord was first sent to the Jews to bless them. They had the privilege of being the people among whom the Messiah lived and the people who first heard the message of salvation. All of us are guilty of Jesus' suffering and death. We took him to the cross. We are called to repent and believe in Jesus. Surprisingly, because God loves us, we are offered forgiveness of sins through Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus, the author of life, grants us life.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere and newcomers are always welcome.
The healing of the crippled man and Peter's address to the crowd stirred up the authorities. The Christian movement was growing and becoming more and more public. Therefore, the Supreme Court tried to intervene. We read in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. The priests serving in the temple precincts on the occasion, along with the captain of the temple, that is, the chief of temple police, and the Sadducees, that is, a Jewish religious party, they formed a coalition and took action against the apostles and Christianity. What was their concern? They were greatly annoyed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Many Jews, especially the Pharisees, expected the resurrection of all the dead at the end of time. Jesus' resurrection proved that the end had already appeared in himself. Besides, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. Now they found in the preaching of resurrection by the apostles a common cause to fight. Because it was evening, Peter and John were arrested and put in custody till the next day. According to the law, any judgments involving life and death must begin and be concluded in daylight hours. Meanwhile, the gospel, the power of God, bore fruits. The number of believers increased to about 5,000. The temple authorities could not destroy the work. What happened the next day? Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 7 tells us. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were in the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The apostles Peter and John were brought to the Supreme Court of the Jews to be questioned. By what power or what name did you do the healing of the crippled man? They asked. Peter gave the answer. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, Peter's spirit was under the control of the Holy Spirit, so his words were the words of the Spirit. Boldly, Peter addressed the court. He stated that he and John were being examined concerning a good deed done to a crippled man. The apostles had done nothing wrong. On the contrary, Peter explained that the healing of the crippled man happened by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Peter also made it clear that this Jesus they crucified, God raised from the dead. Again, emphasis on Jesus' resurrection is always present in the message of the apostles. Then Peter quoted from the Old Testament, telling the Supreme Court that they were rejecting Jesus, but God made him the very cornerstone on which the whole Christian church and faith rest. Following, Peter made one of the key and most significant statements found in the Bible. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Christianity is the one true faith because Jesus, the only source of salvation, rescues us from the evil one. He delivers all people from the sentence of damnation and restores to health the ills of body and soul. How did the Supreme Court react to Peter's answer? Acts chapter 4, verses 15 to 17 tells us. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." The address of Peter and John to the court gave evidence to their courage. They spoke as professionals, we could say, though they were uneducated, common men, fishermen by trade, who had no training in the rabbinic schools, nor did they hold official positions in recognized religious circles. It was unthinkable that the apostles should speak with such power and passion. What made all the difference in these men was the fact that they had been with Jesus. it was evident that they got their faith, their courage, and their skills from Jesus. Being with Jesus works profound changes in people's life. Jesus is contagious, as it were. He affects deeply anyone who stays with him. The court found no reason to condemn the apostles. The crippled man had been healed by the name of Jesus. There was no guilt, no crime in the apostles. So Peter and John are withdrawn from the court because the court did not know what to do with these men. The Christian faith was spreading rapidly. Nothing could hold it back. But in the attempt of stopping Christianity to spread any further among the people, the council decided to warn the apostles to speak no more to anyone in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, we are told what the court did next. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them, because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. After a secret meeting of the court, the apostles are called in again. The verdict is announced. The apostles are charged not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Prohibiting the apostles to speak was the last resort of the authorities. But Peter and John reacted. They said that, in the first place, they were bound to obey God and not man, and that speaking and proclaiming all they had learned from Jesus was their supreme duty. There is no other alternative as far as the apostles are concerned. We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. The mouths of the apostles could not be shut up. Then the court threatened and released the apostles. That's all they could do. The apostles had the crowds on their side. The authorities did not dare oppose the crowds, fearing protests and riots. Simple force would rebound against the court, so they must be cautious for now. The author of the book of Acts adds an interesting note to the account. He says that the age of the healed man was more than 40 years. Therefore, he was widely known. The wonder of the man's healing pointed to a greater cure available for all through Jesus Christ. He is there for you to restore to health your sinful human nature through the forgiveness of sins he freely offers in the gospel. In Jesus Christ, and solely in him, there is life and salvation.
The study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.